Well, Sean, I learned something about the offering from you. When you get up to read scripture, the ushers sit down because they know it'll be a while. That's what I gathered from that little speech of yours, especially the ones that have been around for a while. Isn't this a great time of year to celebrate the birth of Christ and focus on that? And many times when we think of the birth of Christ, we think of angels, because angels were such a big part of the birth of Christ. We use angels in our Christmas decorations, and those angelic visits related to Christmas is something that we're going to look at over the next several weeks. Today we're going to look at a message of the angel Gabriel that came to Mary. Next week we'll look at an angel that appeared to Joseph, actually in a dream. That'll be next Sunday. And then December 23rd, the Advent reading. Actually, there's going to be two Advent readings that morning, but one of them is the one that we most commonly think of, the angels that appeared to the shepherds. A message sent by an angel is an important event because that means there's a direct revelation from God. This angel has been sent by God. And at the time that these angels came, the people that received these messages realized that this was really a big deal. Because you see, angels had not come for a long time. In fact, there had been no word from God through a prophet or through an angel for over 400 years. The last message through a prophet was through Malachi, the last Old Testament prophet, 400 years earlier. No revelation from God, but the silence by God since the revelation of the last Old Testament book was now broken. And now new revelation was coming. And that new revelation was coming because something new was happening. And so God sent angels to announce the news of this new thing that was happening. News that Christ would be born. The long-awaited Messiah was finally coming. Now, when we think of the angelic visits surrounding the birth of Christ, we usually only think of three of them: to Mary, to Joseph, and to the shepherds. But did you know that there was an angel that came 6 months before that? 6 months before they came to Mary, came to a man named Zechariah. The 400 years of silence was first broken when the angel that came to Mary first came to Zechariah. Gabriel came to Zechariah, 6 months later came to Mary. And I want to begin by having you turn to Luke chapter 1, and that's where we will be today. And we're going to look at just a little bit of that message to Zechariah. Just one verse I want you to see. Gabriel was sent to a priest. Zechariah and Elizabeth were godly people. But they had a heartache. They were unable to have children, and they'd longed for children for many years and actually had prayed to God for a child. But by now, they were too old, and they'd given up hope, and they'd stopped praying. They figured it's too late. But an angel came with a message about the birth of a baby, not the birth of Jesus Christ, but the birth of another baby. The angel told Zechariah they, Zechariah and Elizabeth, were going to have a baby because nothing is impossible with God. And that baby would have an important ministry. His ministry would be preparing people to meet the Messiah, the Christ, preparing hearts for Jesus. And here's the angel's message, Luke 1, verse 13. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." And that John is the one we know as John the Baptist. Well, just as the angel proclaimed, it happened. Elizabeth became pregnant. The couple who had always wanted a child but had never been able to conceive, she was now due to have a baby. And when Elizabeth was 6 months into her pregnancy, it was time for the angel, that same angel, Gabriel, to come with a message for somebody else. And as we look at that passage from Luke chapter 1, a message for Mary, who would become the mother of Jesus, as we look at the passage, we see some qualities in Mary. She was a young woman with godly qualities, and that's what we want to focus on today. The angel tells her, "You have found favor with God." Now, Mary is not God, and therefore she is not to be worshipped. She is not to be prayed to. And because of those errors by the Roman Catholic Church, we Protestants sometimes don't tend to even look at Mary. But she's in the Bible for a reason. And there's some things that we can see that I hope will really encourage you and help you in your own life as you see the example of Mary. So let's turn to Luke 1, verse 26, the passage that was read just a little bit earlier. In the sixth month, now what is meant by that? The 6 months of Elizabeth's pregnancy. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph for the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Now, several things are told about Mary in those verses. Number one, she was betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph. A betrothed means she was already considered Joseph's wife, even though they didn't live together as husband and wife. She was still a virgin. Typically, you're betrothed at a very young age. Mary probably was betrothed in her early teens. In the same way, she was engaged, what we would say in our culture. But it's different than the engagement of our culture. In that culture, a pledge had been given, and it was a binding agreement. And so she was considered already the husband of Joseph. In fact, as we'll see later, as we go to next week to Matthew, in Matthew 1:19, Joseph is referred to as, quote, her husband, Joseph. The only way to end that relationship, that betrothal, is to divorce. So it was a legally binding agreement. The first thing the angel said is this, verse 28. And he came to her and said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." By the way, one of the important ways of reading the Bible is to try to put it in your own perspective. If you were there and an angel suddenly appeared to you and greeted you like that, would you be a little bit troubled? Would you be going, "What is going on here?" Of course. Mary doesn't understand this greeting. It says, "You have found favor with God." Why would that be? She wasn't wealthy. She wasn't famous. She wasn't powerful. She wasn't royalty. She's just a simple peasant girl. So why such lofty greeting? Verse 29, "But she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be." But you see, God had noticed Mary. He knew everything about her life. He knew everything about her conduct. More importantly, he knew everything about the kind of heart that she had of loyalty to God and submission to God. And so the angel is here to tell her in verse 30, and the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Favor with God. She would be favored with a great privilege, chosen among all the women of Israel to be the mother of the Messiah. Verse 31, "And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." You shall call his name Jesus. That was not an uncommon name in that day. The word means Jehovah is salvation, and that name was chosen because that especially fit Jesus, because he would be the Savior. Who will this Jesus be? Verse 32, "He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." So the angel is making clear child is going to be great. How great? He will be called the Son of the Most High. Called, in other words, he will be acknowledged, at least by some, as God's Son. Now, the final part of the angel's message must have totally amazed Mary. Verse 32. He will be great, will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. I said that must have amazed her, because what the angel is saying is something that she would have known are all prophecies from the Old Testament concerning the promised Messiah, the promised anointed one, the promised Christ. This child is the one Israel was waiting for, and that child would be her son. Now, the angel has told her she's going to be a mother, and the son she would have is the coming Messiah. And told out of all the women of Israel in all of history, she was chosen by God to be the mother of Christ. Mary doesn't understand this, so she asked, verse 34, and Mary said to the angel, "How will this be since I am a virgin?" Now, Mary isn't doubting God. She simply doesn't understand. She's asking for more details. How is this going to happen since I'm a virgin? So the miraculous birth is explained. Verse 35, and the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." This baby would be conceived by the Holy Spirit. Angel later would go to Joseph and say, "Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit." This child will be unique above all others, conceived not by a man, but by God. So Jesus isn't called a son of God, but the Son of God. Look again in verse 35. And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God." Now, the angel has given the explanation, but what the angel explained is impossible by human effort. Conceived not by man, but by God. Jesus is called a Son of God. Conceived while she is still a virgin. Something like that has never happened. The angel provided evidence of God's power to do the impossible. Verse 36, and behold, your relative Elizabeth, in her old age, has also conceived a son, and this is the sixth month with her, who is called barren. For nothing will be impossible with God. If you mark your Bible, isn't that a great verse to underline or highlight? Verse 37, for nothing is impossible with God. If God has promised it, then it will happen. Even those things that seem impossible, because nothing is impossible with God. At this point, you're going to see some of the character of Mary. Character that is a good example to us. Look at her response. Verse 36. And behold, your relative... Excuse me. Verse 38. And Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. That really gives us a glimpse into her character. Her response expresses faith in the power of God to not only do the impossible by having her conceive a baby while still being a virgin, but also to take care of all the problems. Her response expresses a servant's heart, a heart that willingly submits to God's will. So when the angel leaves, what would Mary do? The angel has told her that Elizabeth is pregnant, and Elizabeth is a relative of Mary's. And so Mary sets out to visit her older relative in whom this miracle had taken place for Elizabeth. Verse 39, in those days Mary arose and went with haste into the hill country to a town in Judah, and she entered the house of Zechariah and greeted Elizabeth. Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. What do you think the first thing is that Mary noticed? Yeah, be very clear that Elizabeth was pregnant. And that just must have been a joyous confirmation to Mary's heart. But I also suspect she not only went there to confirm the message of the angel, but she also went for counsel and support, because this was a godly couple, and if there would be anybody that would understand and would even believe her, it would be this couple. And what a greeting she received. Verse 41. And when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb. I wonder what that was like. The baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit, and she exclaimed with a loud cry, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Behold, when the sound of your greeting came to my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." I love this example of Elizabeth of how to be supportive. What a supportive woman she was. Now, when I say that, think about this. Elizabeth had some pretty big news herself, did she not? And yet, she focused on Mary. She didn't focus on herself. She focused on Mary. And she made Mary feel welcome. Look at verse 43. "And why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Somehow God had revealed to Elizabeth what had happened to Mary, and that the baby within her was the Lord. You know, this kind of welcome is something that Gloria and I have experienced a number of times as we have gone to visit friends in another town and spend the night with them, and they feed us and they put us up and they just treat us so well and give us a place to stay and act like we are doing them a favor to come visit. This is what Elizabeth is doing. She's just making her feel so welcome. And what a great encouragement, this older believer providing support, and what a great boost to Mary's faith. And we see several godly qualities in Mary that I want you to notice as well. One is Mary was a woman of faith. Look again at verse 45. "And blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord." Now think about who this came from. This came from Elizabeth. And Elizabeth knew firsthand that it's not always easy to believe God's word, because God had sent an angel, the same angel, sent to her husband Zechariah and had given a message. And even though Zechariah was a godly man, he had a hard time believing the message from God that he and Elizabeth would have a child. Her husband was given this message. Go back to verse 13. "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John. He was told that Elizabeth would become pregnant, even told how it would happen. Elizabeth will bear you a son. This was a direct message from God, just as we have a direct message from God in his word. Is everything in here easy to believe? Are there things that sometimes are hard for you to believe? Yes. That's where faith comes in. Zechariah doubted God's word. Turn to verse 18. "And Zechariah said to the angel, 'How shall I know this? For I'm an old man, and my wife is advanced in years.'" I have a hard time believing it, he said. Well, you know, you've heard this old saying, God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Have you heard that saying? I have a saying that I like better than that. God said it, that settles it. I'd better believe it. Zechariah wasn't sure if he did. And so the angel says, you want some evidence that what I'm saying is true? Okay, you're not going to be able to speak until that baby's born. And for 9 months, it was heaven on earth for Elizabeth. As 9 months, he couldn't speak. And that must have been really frustrating in actuality. So Elizabeth understood how hard it was. Yet Mary believed God's word. Believed in an even greater miracle. Mary's faith doesn't mean she didn't have questions. Back in verse 34, Mary said to the angel, how would this be since I am a virgin? And she's given the answer, and the angel answered her, the Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. By the way, the Holy Spirit conceiving within her and the importance of that is something we're going to get to next week, and why that was important, that he was conceived of the Holy Spirit. But in this case, she's given this incredible answer, and when she was told it, she believed it. She was a woman of faith. Her faith was seen in that willing submission of verse 38. And Mary said, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Think about the problems that she would face. She's betrothed, and yet she's had no physical relations with Joseph. And she becomes pregnant. And Joseph knows he's not the father. How's he going to handle it? What are her parents going to say? What about her relatives as she tells them the truth? Who's going to believe her? And yet her response, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. By faith, she submitted to God's will and left the problems with God. The first quality I see in Mary here is the faith to believe God's word and trust God. Don't trust and faith go hand in hand? Trusting God to work out, not only believing what the angel said, but trusting God with all the problems that would result from her becoming pregnant. She was also a woman of humility. I see her humility in verse 29 when the angel comes to her and we see, but she was greatly troubled at the saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. Humility is the opposite of pride. It's the opposite of thinking of ourselves. Paul exhorts us in Romans 12:3, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought. And when Mary heard the greeting of the angel, she's going, why this greeting to me? Why such an exalted proclamation? She did not have a high, exalted view of herself. We also see the humility of a servant's heart. Again, verse 38, behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word. I am the servant of the Lord, available for God's service, whatever that meant. And as many of you have probably heard in the past, we need to be available to God's service. That's what spiritual greatness is. It's not great ability, but availability. A servant's heart, willing to be used by God however he chooses it. When you're asked to do something, is your first response to say, no, that's too hard? Or to say, well, how about I pray about that and give some thought to that? And as you think about it, it's one of the things that drives my wife crazy. She has an idea. And I need time to think about it. Anybody else there like that? That kind of your relationship in marriage? Yeah. And that's a good thing. It keeps us balanced. Being willing to be used by God however he chooses. Mary is a positive example to us. She was a young woman of faith. She was a humble girl with a servant's heart available to be used by God. And why was she a humble woman of faith? The answer is because Mary had a godly focus. And that godly focus is seen in her song. If you have a heading to the next verses, verses 46 through 55, my Bible says Mary's song of praise, the Magnificat. And follow along as I read her song. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant. For behold, from now on all generations will call me blessed, for he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name, and his mercy is for those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the thoughts of their hearts. He has brought down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of humble estate. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his offspring forever." A self-focus can lead to pride, pride in high position. We don't see that in Mary. We don't see any pride for being chosen to be the mother of the Messiah. Not, "Look who I am, look what I will do." In contrast, Mary says, "Who am I to be so privileged?" Verse 46, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has looked on the humble estate of his servant." Who am I to be so privileged? Mary's humility came from a focus on God. God was giving her a great privilege, but she didn't take the credit herself. Instead, she magnifies the Lord. She rejoices in God, my Savior. A focus on self can lead to pride, but a focus on self can also lead to despair. She certainly could have panicked. What a mess! What am I going to do? She could have focused on all the potential problems, the questions from the families, those who would gossip, the financial difficulties. But instead, she focused on God and trusted in his sovereign plan. Believed he had not abandoned her. And by faith, he believed that God had a wonderful purpose. And this focus brought her the joy that we read in verse 46 and 47, and Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior." Do you see some of the qualities in Mary that we should emulate? Some of the focus that Mary has that should be our focus as well? Great men and women of God, such as Mary, are great for the same reason they are humble. Their focus isn't on themselves. It's not on their situation. Their focus is on their God. When we focus on ourselves, it can lead to pride or it can lead to great despair. Both are evidences of a self-focus. But as we learn to focus less on self and more on God, and by the way, is that a hard lesson to learn? Anybody there learned it completely yet? Yeah, I'll tell you when I learn it, when I'm in my new body. But until then, I'll struggle. But this is a good reminder to focus on my God. As we focus more on God and less on self, we'll grow in humility, we'll grow in faith, which are the very qualities we see lived out in Mary's life. No wonder Gabriel proclaimed, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." Great example for us, is she not? Amen. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your divine wisdom, your perfect wisdom. We thank you that you not only plan to send your Son to be the Savior of the world, sent your Son to reveal God to us, as we looked at last week, Emmanuel, God with us, but that you chose the right mother for Jesus that would help nurture him and train him. The adopted father, Joseph, who had an influence on his life as well and protected him and cared for him and trained him. We thank you for your perfect wisdom and that there are no mistakes with you. And this morning, I'm sure there are people here who doubt that, that in their own life, it seems like God has made some mistakes. And I just pray that they can learn to focus on you and who you are, and that they will grow in trusting you. Help each of us to be the kind of people that can be like Elizabeth, that can come alongside others and be of support and encouragement and help. That we would learn as we study throughout this Christmas season the lives of those that were a big part of that event. Help us to follow the godly examples that we see. And Lord, we pray that this week you might open some doors of witness to others in talking about Jesus and why it was important that Jesus came to earth. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You're